भगवद गीता 8.14 अनन्य चेता सततम यो माम स्मरति नित्यशः तस्याहम सुलभ पार्थ नित्ययुक्तस्य योगिनः। अनन्य चेता विदाउट एनी डिस्ट्रैक्शन कॉन्शियसनेस सततम ऑलवेज यो माम स्मरति नित्यशः ऑलवेज रिमेंबर्स मी तस्याहम सुलभ पार्थ। फॉर दैट पर्सन सुलभ आई एम इजीली अटेन नित्ययुक्तस्य योगिनः। नित्ययुक्तस्य वन हु इज वेल एंगेज्ड कॉन्स्टेंटली एंगेज्ड। दिस इज द ओनली वर्स इन द भगवद गीता प्रैक्टिकली स्पीकिंग वेयर कृष्णा सेज ही इज इजीली अटेन्ड तस्याहं सुलभ पार्थ। सुलभ इजीली अटेन्ड। Earlier, Krishna has stated at least twice that he is quite difficult to attain. He stated that in 7.3, first when he said, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam vetti tatvataha. Among millions of people, few, among thousands of people, few endeavor to know him. And even among those who endeavor, very few actually strive to, among the few who endeavor for transcendence, very few come to the summit of transcendental reality, that is Krishna. So, clearly, knowing Krishna is rare. And again, in 7.19, he had said that those who understand Krishna, they are sudurlabha, bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So those who understand that Krishna is everything, vasudeva sarvamiti, and those who surrender to him, prapadyate, maam prapadyate, they are sudurlabha. Durlabha is rare. Su is a further intensifier. So, labha is to gain. Durlabha is difficult to gain. And sudurlabha is extremely difficult to gain. Sudurlabha, if you remove the dur from there, sulabha is what Krishna is using here. He is stating here that tasyaham sulabha partha. Sulabha, I am easily attained for whom? So this declaration that Krishna is easily attained is itself a very reassuring declaration. But for whom is he easily attained? He says, Nanya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashah. The one who without any distracted, deviated consciousness, ananya cheta, satatam, always, yomam smarati nityashah, always he remembers me. Asyaham sulabha, for him I am easily attained. Nityayuktasya yoginaha, such yogis who are nityayukta, always engaged. Now, this might seem like a prohibitively forbidding condition. Krishna is actually using the word ananya satatam nityasaha anitya. Four times he is saying constant, undistracted. So, is this promise of ease somewhat deceptive? Suppose someone tells us that you can easily lose 10 kg if you just fast for 25 days. Now, they easily lose 10 kg. Yes, anybody can lose weight if they don't eat. But not eating for 25 days might say, yes, it's okay. It's maybe possible biologically for the body to survive without food for that much time based on the reserve energy present in the body. But practically for most people, it would be impossible. It would be excruciating torture. And there would be absolutely nothing easy about that kind of method for weight loss. So, is Krishna prescribing something extremely difficult and then saying that if you do this, you will easily attain me? What is Krishna doing actually here? Yes, for us, when we read the Bhagavad Gita's verses without understanding the context in which it is being spoken, this might seem to be like a very demanding thing to always remember Krishna. How is it possible that someone can always remember Krishna? That something will be attained after we always remember Krishna, well, that's quite a difficult thing, not an easy thing at all. That's what we may feel, and our feeling based on our present experience is in one way right. But the Gita is, especially this verse, is spoken in a particular context. And in this context, Krishna is stating that Krishna is actually comparing Bhakti Yoga with Ashtanga Yoga. And Ashtanga Yoga requires even tougher things to do. Ashtanga requires that one should look at everyone with equal vision. One should renounce the world. One should fix one's consciousness at the tip of the nose, between the eyebrows. And like that, there is so much that is spoken by Arjuna, about the process of Ashtanga Yoga. The demands are so excruciating, and even after that, one may not be successful in one life. And it may take many lifetimes, as Krishna outlined, from 6.40 to 6.45, Prayatna yatamanastu yogi samshuddha kilvisha aneka janma samsiddha sato yati paramgatim. So, prayatna yatamanastu, after endeavoring determinedly, yogi samshuddha kilvisha, yogi becomes completely purified of all contaminations. And aneka janma samsiddhas, after practicing for many lives, the yogi samsiddhas, the yogi attains perfection. So it is by no means an easy process. We could say the contrary, that it's excruciatingly difficult process. And having understood this, how difficult it is, that it may extend over many, many lifetimes, and even within those many lifetimes, one has to actually, if one is practicing Ashtanga Yoga without the element of bhakti in it, then one has to not only undergo a lot of physical austerity and difficulty in terms of renouncing the world, staying alone in the forest, but also one has to exert an excruciating level of concentration on an object that is not inherently interesting. There is nothing really attractive about the tip of the nose or the space between the eyebrows. And further, even if one does succeed and then turns inwards, still there is no guarantee that one will be able to discover what is the reality within. So it is a long journey through an inner darkness and wilderness. When something is dark, we don't know where, what is where. But if it's not only darkness but also wilderness, that means there are also dangerous predators wandering around in the forest, in that wilderness. So like that, when the yogi embarks on inner journey, is not only darkness about what lies inside the inner territory, but also there is wilderness. There are many dangerous anarthas which can drag a person away. And going through all that to ultimately attain yogic perfection, which is attainment of Krishna, that is an excruciatingly difficult process. As contrasted with that, the process of bhakti, which involves fixing the mind on Krishna, is much, much easier. Krishna is a living, loving person endowed with innumerable attractive qualities. He is the all-attractive supreme person, the all-loving Lord of our heart. So although thinking of him constantly is difficult for us as sadhakas, still, both in principle and in practice, thinking about him is far, far easier than thinking about the tip of the nose or some searching for some unknown object of meditation in the inner dark land. Krishna has a profound message. He performs wonderful pastimes. He manifests in various attractive forms. And so, meditating on him is a mind-nourishing experience, not a mind-starving experience. Sometimes, just as we have hunger for the body, similarly, there is a hunger of the mind to know new things, to think of new things, to contemplate new things. And if we force the mind to stay fixed on one object, the mind may resent against it as if it were a terrible sentence. Mind may make us feel as if we are starving, not being able to think about anything else. But when we fix the mind on Krishna, because Krishna encompasses everything and Krishna transcends everything, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So meditating on him is a fresh, refreshing and relishable experience. Navanavarasadhamanya uddhitam asit. Ibn Acharya says that ever since I started meditating on Krishna, then navanavarasa uddhitam rantum asit, that I am constantly relishing newer and newer rasa. So going onwards, from this perspective, that as compared to the object of meditation prescribed in Ashtanga Yoga, which is unattractive and initially and unknown for most of the journey, till one understands that it is Vishnu who is to be meditated on. And even then, when Vishnu is meditated on in a non-devotional way, as simply a tool for meditation, then meditation on Vishnu may also not be very satisfying. So, overall, it's quite a difficult process. As compared to that, meditating on Krishna is relatively much easier. It's much more joyful. And especially if we associate with devotees who are attracted to Krishna, and in their association, we also become attracted to Krishna, then attraction spontaneously kindles meditation. Just as those who are cricket fans actually think of cricket. Those who are nationalists, they naturally think of their nation. So like that, if we become attracted to Krishna with devotion, then we will naturally think of Krishna. So, and then, so with that devotion, when thinking about Krishna and thinking about him constantly has become natural, then Krishna, then we understand that, oh yes, by this natural and joyful process, if I just continue it, then I can attain Krishna. Oh, that is truly sulabha as compared to the alternatives. It is definitely, eminently, gloriously easy. Thank you.